Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Hey, Undisputed listeners. Before we start the show, I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com. Reimagined for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app right now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, are just one click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. Download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com now. Let's start the show. Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Aaron Rodgers is ready to get his postseason run started and said he's feeling as good as ever. And one of the biggest Packers fans is joining us now, Lil Wayne. Welcome, Wayne. It is so good to have you with us. Okay. Now, you recorded a hype song this week for the team at their request. It's being released tonight at 8:45 Eastern. How did this come about?
I did a song before, and we had a good turnout. It was successful. We had good results, and we tried to do it again this time.
So tell us, can you think off the top of your head of some of the lines in the song, maybe an Aaron Rodgers line?
I know for a fact I don't say nothing about cowgirls.
You got me. Touche. Yeah. Anything great?
You know, I'm not about to give you no sneak peek or nothing like that, man. You know I'm not about to do that.
Okay, I got it. So,
but real I took a lot of time into it. I worked on it for 3 days, too. I don't do that. So
you don't do that. In fact,
no.
I've known you just to crank them out in a couple of hours. So you really,
exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So before I turn over to the man you call Unk, tell the story real quick. I know you've told it to us before, but how you became a Packer fan in your growing up in New Orleans.
So the Packers went to the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl was in New Orleans. My late father, Reginald McDonald, he attended that Super Bowl and, he wasn't a fan of any of the teams that was there. It was just so amazing that the Super Bowl was in New Orleans. It was something, if you had the ability to do it, you had to be there. And he was there. And when the Packers won that game, and he came home with Green Bay championship towels, Super Bowl towels, cups, hats, everything he could, anything that was being given, he had it. He brought it to the house. And from that moment on, I was a Green Bay Packer fan. And then the game Madden, everybody know how big that is for anybody that loves sports or any video game. So I was playing Madden, and the Super Bowl champion is going to always be on the cover that next time. So it was easy to become a fan of that person and all that, and that was Brett Favre.
And that was the Brett Favre New England Super Bowl. So did your friends give you any, you know what, over being a Packer fan versus being a Saints fan?
No, Skip C, because my era coming up, the Saints, right before my era coming up, the Saints were a real bad team.
Yeah.
And so actually in New Orleans, when I was coming up, man, you used to get roasted on for coming to school with a Saints hat on or a Saints jacket on. Like, for real. Like, everybody I know had a team, a secondary team. The Saints was, my team because we from here, but who your real team is? That's how it always
So the Packers play the Rams. Are you concerned about the Rams a little bit? I know the Packers have played well. Aaron Rodgers played unbelievable, but the Rams have what can give Aaron Rodgers problems. A defense that can get at them with Aaron Donald, Brockers, Fox. They got a great defense, Wayne.
Yeah, then also Ramsey, Jalen out there too. So
yeah,
you know that threat. We, you know, Devontae. I believe in Devontae 100%, of course. But man, that Terminator down there, man, number 99, and they talking about those. They talk, you know, they talking about his ribs. Man, that man ain't got no ribs. Hey, that man ain't got no ribs. They went in there and tuned something else up inside. That man ain't got no ribs. That's Terminator, T1.
So tell us.
But nah, we not worried, though. We not worried.
All right. So give us your insight into Aaron Rodgers this year, because obviously the organization decided the past draft, we got to move forward with Jordan Love. And it looked like Aaron was starting to be on the way out. How did he respond to that? I know you keep in close touch with lots of people around the team. Give us your breakdown on his season and how he responded.
Well, from we call it, he jacked it up. Yeah, he jacked it up, straight up. He manned up. He said, "Okay, this is what it is. Well, I'm gonna show you what it is." And I mean, he stepped up to the plate, whatever cliche you want to call it. I mean, they rubbed him the wrong way, and we see what happens from that. And I mean, I mean, he felt disrespected, and as a Aaron Rodgers fan, I felt disrespected too, because I was like, we did just have a wonderful season. I don't understand what was it we needed to do, what he needed to do to show anything else, but he's showing it, and man.
So is it Super
Bowl? It's a tornado.
Is it Super Bowl or bust? Will you consider this season a failure if you guys are not in Tampa and the confetti is raining down on you? And you probably going to the game, so I know if they get to the Super Bowl, you going.
Yeah, if that confetti ain't green and yellow coming down that night, something ain't right. Mm. Something ain't right. It's gonna be hard for me, for real.
So speaking of going to games, I know you have an invite to go to Green Bay tomorrow. Are you still thinking about it? And if you do go, would you be up in a suite, in a box, enclosed, or would you be down on the sideline with your team?
Honestly, I don't know how they're going to do that. If I am there, you already know, Skip, they probably going to have to stop me from going on the field, because, man, you know how much I love that team, Skip.
Okay. I also know how much you live in Miami. And
hate the cold. Exactly.
I know you was about to say something. I know you was about to say something about that cold. I'm going to, I have an ankle link, mink on the Joe Namath, whatever I need to have on to stand on that sideline, I'm out there.
I was thinking more like a Canadian Goose or a Montclair, but you said a mink.
You feel me? You know, come on, you know.
That is true Packer spirit. If you could last four quarters, I think it's going to snow showers. I don't know if it's going to be brutally cold, but brutally cold.
I done been around. I'll be all right. The adrenaline gonna be rushing. Coach might need me to go out there and, you know, take a few snaps. I'm ready.
let you call a play. You got something diagrammed up. You say you play Madden, so you go dial up one of those plays on Madden.
I mean, I heard they got a few plays that's named after me. I don't know what kind of play, defensive, offensive, but I heard they got a few plays named after me. So hopefully they work.
So is this song that drops tonight, is it going to be a surprise to the Packers? Did they hold off the surprise until today?
I think that's what they did. I think they, you know, because they had some specific rules about the song, but they didn't want me to, you know, they don't want nobody to hear it before the team hear it. Obviously, they want them to hear it all at once, and that's how I want it to be as well, just so I want them to hear it, and I want them to be ready to run through a wall after that.
Mm. Well, who asked you to make the song?
Like I said, I've been made it, so it's kind of, I did it before, so it was just kind of asked, like, man, you know, the team is doing real well this season. Of course, my friends already was like, man, you probably need to make one of them songs again. It's going to probably take y'all there. And then you already know, man, me and the coach Matt, we real cool. We've been talking, and he was like, man, I think one of them songs will really do it. Like, I really think
that they're going to really do it. Well, I got the Packers. The Packers about to do this thing. If the coach say,
come on, I don't got
that. Yeah, nephew, that thing about to go down. Aaron Rodgers, yeah. He been feeling real. Skip don't like her there. You know, he been talking about hosting Jeopardy and how he been dragging a little tequila here and there. Yep. He ain't worried about nothing.
You know how Skip is. You know how Skip is. If it ain't Tom Brady, you know how Skip is. If it ain't Tom, if it ain't number two in basketball and all that, you know
and
how that
goes. And then, you know, the Cowboys. He still hurt over the Cowboys because he actually thought they was going to get in the playoffs.
My quarterback got hurt.
They still play?
So, I don't know if you're going to consider this good news or bad news, but I am picking the Rams to win this game. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I heard you say that before I came on earlier, actually. I thought to text your phone, but I ain't going to disrespect you while you're on the air like that.
It's okay. I usually do.
I know. But what's wrong? Why would you do that?
I just got a feeling.
Rodgers hater. Hear Rodgers. Because this is what he wants to happen. Nephew, this is what he wants to happen. He wants Rodgers to get upset. He wants Tampa to win. So, therefore, the Rams would have to go to Tampa. That's what he wants to happen. But none of that's going to come true.
Skip, I understand how much you like Tom, but just so you know, I got them Saints.
Good to know. Wayne, we so appreciate you coming on.
We still love you anyway.
I have a feeling Wayne and Skip are going to be texting each other all weekend with plenty to say. So, yeah, Wayne, if your Packers get it done, you may have to join us next week to talk a little bit more about it.
No problem.
Thank you so much. We look forward to hearing the song.
I got the Rolls Royce ready for you for the Super Bowl party.
All right, bro, I'm there.
Jeez. I hope that's an invite for all. Wayne, thanks so much. We'll check in with you soon.
No mercy.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
What's up, Undisputed listeners? It's your boy, Shay Sharp. I wanted to tell you about my new podcast, Club Shay Shay, where we always do something before two something. Each week, I sit down with a guest for a drink and conversation, and as host and proprietor of Club Shay Shay, I welcome in esteemed guests such as Snoop Dogg, Floyd Money Mayweather, LeVar Ball, Isaiah Thomas, just to mention a few. Whether I'm talking to an athlete, a musician, an actor, or a lifelong friend, Club Shay Shay is a place where people share inspiring and motivational stories about their journeys to prominence. The new episode drops every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to Club Shay Shay now and make sure you never miss a new episode. Now back to Undisputed.
No mercy.
Nets general manager Sean Marks said he feels confident the new big three in Brooklyn will work out. Marks said he asked the superstars about their commitment to making things work and said that he, quote, enjoyed hearing that conviction, and we've got some time to see how it translates on the court. So, Shannon, are you buying this from Sean Marks?
Skip, look, I don't believe Sean Marks. I really don't. Because let me tell you why, Skip. He said he talked to Kyrie, talked to KD. Now, you talked to Kyrie. Kyrie didn't tell you that he was leaving the team. He didn't tell you why he was leaving the team. And he didn't tell you when he's coming back to join the team. He just told you, yeah, I'm looking forward to gelling. Now, Sean Marks said, so he talked to Kyrie. He said, but he also said, you hope there's an adequate excuse, more than an adequate, as to why he needs personal time. You talked to him and didn't ask him? Wait a minute. Hold on, Skip. Your employee left, didn't tell you jack. You got him on the phone. Instead of asking him, hey, Kyrie, is everything okay? When are you coming back? The only thing you ask him, hey, you know we signed James Harden. You cool with that? You going to be able to play with him? Okay, click, bye. Am I the only one? Maybe it's just me, Skip. Maybe I've never been anyone's boss, Skip. I've never had been in a position where somebody didn't come to work or somebody didn't do something. I had to ask them very important questions. Mm. But, Skip, I'm thinking, if you to work, you going to call it like, hey, is everything okay, man? Mm. What's going on? Is there something we can help you with? When do you plan on getting back? You ask none of that. All you ask is, what about jailing with James Harden? I get it, Skip. What was Kyrie supposed to say? Hell, no, I ain't going to jail with him. It's easy to say that. Saying that, doing that, actually on the basketball court, they're two different things. Skip, it might work out beautiful. It might be some of the most beautiful basketball we've ever seen. It might be Showtime Lakers. It might be Golden State in its heyday. Tremendous ball movement. I don't see how it happens when you have two ball-dominant players. In order for Kyrie to show to be spectacular, he needs the ball. In order for James Harden to be spectacular, he needs the ball. Kevin Durant is spectacular because he's Kevin Durant. He doesn't need the ball as much as they do. He can, sure, he can handle the ball, can pull up from 30, can mid-range, put post you up, free throw. I get all that. But Kevin Durant, Kyrie, and James Harden need the ball to get a rhythm. Kevin Durant can catch and shoot. That's not Kyrie's game. That's not James Harden's game. Mm. So it's easy to say that, oh, yeah, we're going to jail to go. Oh, yeah, yeah, I look forward to it. But I think a more important question for you, Sean, that you should have asked, and I understand that your job is to make sure you, when you accumulate talent, you put it together, how well does it go together? You're not going to ask Kyrie when he going to rejoin the team? You're not going to ask Kyrie why he left the team in the beginning? Mm. I'm just saying, Skip, I just think those are things that you probably should have asked, along with can you play with James Harden?
Mm. So, you are saying that Sean Marks is flat out lying about having spoken to Kyrie, Kevin, and to James Harden about whether this will work.
Skip, my thing, I'm trying to figure out, Kyrie didn't tell you that he was leaving. He didn't tell you why he was leaving. He doesn't tell you that he's coming back. You have him on the phone, and you don't ask him. Sean Marks said something, you know, he said, I hope there's an adequate reason why he needed personal time. Skip, you got the man on the phone. Don't you think that's something you should find out?
How do you know he didn't find that out?
He said, you hope there's an adequate excuse.
How do you know he can't speak about it publicly?
How about
if Kyrie's in some sort of counseling,
okay,
it's highly possible that this is confidential and he has to tiptoe around.
So he lied. Because all he had to do was say, look, Kyrie needed personal time. Mm-hmm. You don't say, you hope.
Well, I mean, that's just a general statement. That's in general. You in general, not him. You know, you in general would hope that your employee had an adequate excuse if he just suddenly leaves the
Kyrie couldn't say, well, you know, I needed some time away, blah, blah, blah. And you dress it up and say, hey, Kyrie needed personal time. Mm. You don't come out and say, you hope he does. Mm. You already know because Kyrie told you.
Mm.
Or you knew.
Well, he did say that it's imminent, his return, and that he expressed excitement about getting back with this team. And then he went into detail about how each of the three volunteered to him, according to him, their willingness to sacrifice on a nightly basis to win a championship together. And he said, they brought it up. I didn't have to. They used the word sacrifice.
Can I ask you a question?
Each of the three. Maybe he's a liar, but I don't think he is.
Let me ask you a question. Now, he said his imminent return. Mm-hmm. Well, why didn't Kyrie tell him about his imminent departure?
Well, maybe he did. He can't express it.
Come on.
You come on. Do you know what this era we're in with the counseling? Is it possible that there's an issue we don't have any idea about that he has gone through?
Well, the reports are Kyrie did not reach out to any of the organization. Mm-hmm. He texts teammates. That's what he did. Now, maybe the reports are off. Maybe everybody is lying. But this is what we know. This is not fact. This is not conjecture. This is not innuendo. Kyrie stepped away. And Kyrie didn't, and is not back. Mm. And this is 5 games into the season. Now, we can speculate what they say they're going to play together. They say they're looking forward to it. This is what they dream for all their lives. That's what they can say. But this is what we know. Kyrie stepped away, and Kyrie is not there now.
Okay. Is he going to be back soon? Betting against that?
I don't know. What's soon?
Within the week.
We'll see.
Yeah. He's indicating.
That's not an indication.
Yeah. Well, he's not at liberty to speak about some private matters concerning Kyrie Irving.
How you know it's private matter? You assuming.
Well,
you just got upset at me for assuming, but you assume it's a private matter.
You're assuming much worse than I'm assuming.
No, I'm not assuming
anything. I'm giving him his privacy.
Skip, all I said was that Kyrie didn't tell. Skip, how about this? Whit, Charlie, I need some time. I need to step away. I'm going to be away for a few weeks.
Okay, obviously. But you're not Kyrie Irving.
Skip, all I'm saying is there's a level of professionalism. Skip, you don't have to get into great detail.
Okay, I got it. But you don't know what's going on with him, so you can't even speculate on what's going on with him.
But you speculated that there's something going on with him.
Okay, but you're out of bounds to say that Sean Marks should just be open, you know, hearted about
it. That's not what I said.
Okay, you're calling this man a liar. And I don't know Sean Marks, but I do know him by association because I know a lot of people who've worked closely with him. He is highly regarded, high character. He's a product of the San Antonio system, the Greg Popovich protege that he became as a GM.
So Sean Marks is incapable of lying?
No, I'm not saying he's incapable. Okay. Nobody's incapable of lying. Okay. But his MO is, his reputation in the league is, he would not make this up.
Skip, I'm not jumping to any conclusions. I'm not saying what was divulged or what wasn't divulged. Like we said, all I said is that the report said Kyrie informed his teammates that he wasn't going to be there tonight. All I said, if you can inform your teammates, no matter what, so it was a personal enough that you needed to step away, but you could tell your teammates, but it wasn't personal enough for you to step away that you can call your employer.
Okay. How do we know for a fact he didn't text or call Sean Marks? Or go up above Sean Marks into the ownership? How do you know that for a fact?
So wouldn't you like to refer that down to your head coach? Because the head coach said he had no damn written idea where Kyrie was. Mm-hmm. So did he say that? Is that a lie?
I don't know. Well, you don't know either.
Skip.
Okay, so I just want to get it on record right here, right now. Sean Marks made up the fact that he spoke to Kyrie, Kevin, and James about would this work.
Skip.
He also said that he spoke to James before the trade was made.
Skip, obviously you talked to the player that's coming in and says, okay, you understand what we have. You understand that the likelihood of you scoring 30 a night is not going to happen. The likelihood of you being able to dominate. I'm not saying that, Skip. All I'm saying is that the way he's talking about it, he said, you hope there's an adequate excuse. Well, Skip, if you know what's going on, you know it's more than an adequate excuse for you to step away.
I don't know. Once you get in that area, you are in the grayest of areas, and you can't be public with it.
No, Skip, I'm not saying be public. All I'm saying is that he could have said, Kyrie has more than an adequate excuse. Mm-hmm. If he says that, boom. That doesn't mean he didn't share any pertinent information to what may or may not be going on with Kyrie. Skip, that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that Kyrie has or has not. All I'm saying is you talk to the man.
Okay, but the question at hand is, did he ask Kyrie, Kevin, and James about would they be willing to fit together? And the first thing you said was that there's no way he talked to Kyrie because, remember, you said, well, what was he supposed to say? Well, he could have said, to use your term, hell nah. I mean, what if Kyrie had just told him, there's no way I'm going to play with James Harden?
He might have told him that. Skip, my thing is that if you got the guy on the phone and you ask him, could he play with someone?
Okay,
don't you?
I got it.
That's all.
Okay, but the point of what we're doing this topic on is, can they play together? Did Sean Marks do his homework? And is he lying about the fact that each volunteered to him, hey, I know I'm going to have to sacrifice? I believe that all happened.
But let me ask you a question. Kyrie was unwilling to sacrifice in Cleveland to be number two. For whatever reason, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown started to come on, and Kyrie Irving was unwilling to sacrifice in Boston. Now, all of a sudden, Kyrie, out of the kindness of his heart, says, you know what?
Okay, well, that's your right to speculate that he won't do it, okay?
So what do we... Hold on. Forget speculation. Mm-hmm. What has his history shown us?
That he's one of the best clutch shooters in basketball.
Skip, okay.
He hit a shot that won LeBron a championship.
He hit the greatest shot in NBA history. It's better than Ray Allen. But that's not what I'm asking. What has his history shown you about sharing, about compromising? What has his history said about that?
Okay. All right. Well, you're good. But I say he's best friends with Kevin Durant, who has become the alpha and the leader of this team, and that he'll be in the perfect spot. And I love Chris Broussard's suggestion. Maybe he and James could switch roles because James has led the league in assists and is averaging a mere 10 assists a game so far this year. So maybe James could sacrifice by just setting up the offense and distributing. Drive it and dish it. That's what he's best at.
I love how people say sacrifice. But when you've been something for such a long time, mm-hmm. it becomes harder and harder for you to sacrifice that. James Harden has been the player that we see now. James Harden has been that longer than he was sixth man.
And how many rings does he have to show
for? He doesn't have any.
And he's 31 years old.
Yes.
There you go.
Skip, I get, but you have to understand, Kevin Durant's sacrifice in Golden State is not the equivalent of James Harden's sacrifice in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Kyrie's sacrifice, what he sacrificed with LeBron, is not the equivalent of what he's going to have to sacrifice in New Jersey. That's all I'm saying. There are varying degrees of sacrifice. Mm.
Well, I love it that you have called them out, you've called them liars, and you're saying Kyrie has no chance because I know he watches this show, and I hope he takes it to heart. I hope it speeds his return, and I hope he has a speedy opportunity to shut you up.
Oh, okay. All right. Hopefully he's listening.
Help me understand. I just want to, Jimmy, before we go.
Okay.
When you thought Kawhi was going to the Lakers, mm-hmm. you lost your mind. You lost your mind. Now you see this right here, and you up here, and you talking about you want a Brooklyn Nets jersey.
Oh, boy. Yeah, have you ordered a jersey yet?
I just had a long sense, Skip.
I'm going to get one.
Everybody say, Skip Bayless, you lost your mind when you thought Kawhi was going to AD and LeBron. Mm-hmm. You say it ain't right. LeBron needs all the help. Mm-hmm. Now the best player on the planet mm-hmm. got James Harden, and yeah. you ain't said a peep.
Yeah, because I don't want LeBron to get to play the fifth seed with two of his starters injured in game one in the finals. I don't want to see that. I want to see that in the finals. I want to see LeBron do something that really counts and matters.
Whoa.
That's what I want to see. I want to see some degree of difficulty.
No.
I don't want to see another cakewalk.
What you don't want to see, you didn't want to see LeBron get any more championship. That's what you did want to see.
Well, look at that right there. That's why he won't.
But
if you show up in a Brooklyn jersey, I'm going to be concerned. Skip. Moving on from that.
No mercy.
Hey, Undisputed listeners. It's Charlotte Wilder here to tell you about my new podcast with Mark Titus called the People Sports Podcast. It comes out every Thursday, and Mark and I take one of the big stories of the week, and then we go off on tangents you never saw coming. This might mean that we start talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series and end up wondering if Knicks fans deserve happiness. Or begin with LeBron's greatness and end up drafting our ultimate beer league softball team made up of old athletes. Whatever it is, the only rule of the show is that it has to be fun and funny, because these days we can all use as many laughs as we can get. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts and come down weird sports rabbit holes with us. We can't wait to have you.
No mercy.
Sunday on Fox, we'll see history as Tom Brady and Drew Brees square off for a chance to advance to the NFC Championship. Both veteran QBs will have their hands full as Pro Football Focus ranked each team's pass rush in the top 10 for the 2020 season. And as we know, Brees Saints took both regular season meetings. Former Cowboys cornerback Orlando Scandrick is joining us on a Friday. So, Orlando, in your opinion, I know what Skip and Shannon think. What do you think? Who wins? What's the score?
First, I'm going to tell you who wins. I'm going to go with Tampa Bay and Tom Brady. I just think that it's really hard to beat anyone three times in the National Football League. And the experience, you know, the Saints always find a way to mess it up. It doesn't matter how good their team is. And Tom Brady, I played against Tom Brady in the AFC Championship game in 2018 when I was with the Kansas City Chiefs. And, you know, we were down 14-0 at halftime, I believe, and Tom made a bunch of mistakes and they were still winning. And then the second half came and it was just like when it became crunch time and, you know, nut cutting time. Tom terrific. And, you know, his experience, I think, is just going to take over. And that's what they brought him there for Tampa. And I think Tom lives for these moments. I look for Tampa to win a close one, 28-24.
Whew. The difference is when you look back at it, what couldn't you do to Tom in New England that the Saints can do while he's in Tampa?
They can rush the passer. But I think at some point, and I think that we talked about this on the show all season, if you look at the Bucs offense, it has become catered to what Tom does well. And Antonio Brown is in, you know, postseason form. He has picked it up over these last few weeks. We've seen less Scotty Miller, more Antonio Brown. And I just think the Saints have a liability on their coverage, in their secondary, and the agitator, number 22. And I don't think that that's going to get in Antonio Brown's head, nor is it going to get in Mike Evans' head, nor is it going to get in Chris Godwin's head. And I think they're going to be in for a long day.
When I look at I went the opposite way. I took the Saints, but I think you're giving the Bucs secondary too much credit because I think they're a weak link. And even when they were rolling, I see vulnerabilities in that secondary. Their secondary is not good, and I'm being nice with that.
They're hot garbage.
But Skip Ritten loved the Bible, the Pro Football Focus. That's Skip's Bible. They have them ranked ahead of the Saints secondary. I don't know how that happened.
Like, by far.
Yeah, I know.
Like 6th to 21st.
Yeah, I don't know how they got that. But when I look at it, I just think the thing is, Hendrickson is going to be the key. If he can come back and he can be what he's been the entire season, 12 and a half sacks, and he's been out of in and out of the lineup the last month, last 4 or 5 games. But if he can come back, because what they can do with their front four is that get pressure without having to sacrifice the back end. Now, I don't know what it is, but I think because he's a big target and Marshon Lattimore is a little on the smaller side, but he gives Mike Evans fits because he is a big target. And it's not go ahead.
He does. He does. But you were a pass-catching tight end. Your brother was a pass-catching receiver. It's a lot of hitting yards when it comes in between Marshon Lattimore and Mike Evans. His stat sheet might not look well, but Marshon Lattimore is going to have a 40-plus yard pass interference. It happens every time they play. Look at the first game, a 40-plus yard pass interference, and I look at those as the hitting yards. That's just as good as a 40-yard catch to me.
I look at any good defenses I've been around, make them call it. They're not going to call it every play. They might call it, and I get it sometimes. You know, it's the most inopportune time that they choose to throw the flag. But I'm going to make you call it. I'm going to be my normal self. And what we've seen in the playoffs, is that they normally will let stuff go. They don't call it as ticky-tack as they once did in the regular season. So they're going
to
let you play.
Until it gets to the Saints.
Yeah, you're going to have to play through. Ask the Saints about that when Roby Coleman Skip hit the guy like, in the third quarter, and it was the fourth quarter, and they didn't throw the flag.
Especially at New Orleans.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
So, Orlando Scandrick, my man, I love what you just said. It makes me feel a little better about a pick I don't love, because I did pick Tom Brady, but I just picked him because he's Tom Brady.
Exactly.
But it's because of what he's done. It's because of what he did to Orlando's Chiefs in 2018, in the AFC Championship game. He converted 3 straight 3rd and 10s in overtime. It's impossible. You just can't. Were you on the field for any of those?
Yeah, he gave him a touchdown.
Here you go. See, there's you back doing it again. You're doing it again.
I know, but he has firsthand knowledge. He has seen it before his very eyes.
Skip, I watched it. I watched the game.
He did it to me in Dallas, too, when they had Aaron Hernandez, Gronkowski, Wes Welker. He's just resilient, man. You can say whatever you want about the man. The man is resilient. And I'm not right about all my picks, but I'm going with just my football knowledge, and I just think when it comes down to a sharp, I mean, he wants it. No one wants it more than Tom Brady. Yeah. He clearly showed that he wanted. He took a chance. He went to Tampa. He picked the best situation for himself. Probably not the most money for himself, but he wants it. And another thing that I kind of missed out on, their running game is at a different level than it was earlier in the season. And I went back and I studied both games. They didn't run the ball well in the first game. It was the first game of the season. And then the second game, even though they got blown out, Tom missed a bunch of throws. I'm not going to say that he's going to miss a bunch of throws again. So, I mean, I think it's going to be a hell of a game, but I just see Tampa Bay pulling it out close. I love Tampa Bay's rushers. I love Ndamukong Suh, even though he's older. I love, you know, just the way he can have an impact on the game. I love Jason Poirier. I've loved him since I played against him in the Giants. And Shaq Barrett is kind of the X factor. I mean, he hasn't been the Shaq Barrett that he was in 2019, but he's still a guy that, you know, is dominant and can get to the passer.
And by the way, I love the most Devin Bush, who was not able to play because of COVID against Washington. So he's back.
What he got hands? They got their hands full with Alvin Kamara. Alvin!
So you're going 1960s Chipmunks reference?
Yeah.
How old are you? I don't know.
Fantasy over. He don't want a lot of people fantasy. So yeah. I'm thinking Alvin have about 2 touchdowns.
So, Orlando, back to your point. Would you believe that the Saints secondary, the reason they're ranked only 21st as a secondary by Pro Football Focus, is as a group, they committed 45 penalties, which is 6 more than any other secondary in the league, to your point about pass interference. And I told Shannon to start the show, Brady will try four or five deep throws to Mike Evans, just hoping they can get one 40-yard PI penalty. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. And speaking of Marshon Lattimore, I have nothing but respect for him, but he gave up the most touchdown passes of any corner in pro football this year. He gave up six. So there's some feast and famine. You made the point maybe he loses focus against inferior competition. And he loves to play against Mike Evans. But Mike Evans also loves to play against him. And trust me, they are scheming up some routes where they think Tom will get the ball to Mike Evans some. But he will mostly get the ball in the crucial situations to an Antonio Brown who, during that beatdown back on November the 8th, that Sunday night at Tampa, Antonio had practiced twice with the team and was forced into the rotation for that game. Well, obviously, as Arian said the other day, he's finally in game shape and he's obviously in Brady shape because they are starting to click at the highest level. So to me, their bye week came late in the year. And what did they do in the bye week? They finally revamped the offense from Bruce Arians' offense 100% to a little bit of Tom's offense because they added motion and they added play action. Right. He didn't have any of that in that New Orleans game. And now they're doing a lot of that because they are starting to run the ball not only with Rojo, but Fournette ran the ball with electricity I hadn't seen from him all year at Washington.
The egos are out the window. You know, you're two games away from the Super Bowl. The egos are out the window. Sean Payton is a hell of a coach. He is a hell of a coach. He's one of the best coaches in football. But Tom Brady is the best player that I've ever seen play in the National Football League, not because of his physical stature, not because of his talent, just because of his brain and his just resilience and how much he wants it. He wants it. I've never seen a quarterback celebrate like that. If you know anything about Tom, you watch him come out the locker room and you watch him come out the tunnel for the last time. He's sprinting full speed, even though he's slow as hell. He's sprinting full speed. You can just see it in his eye. You can see it. You can see how much he wants it in his eye.
Yep, I agree.
This is on the Saints front four, Jordan and Rankins and those guys. Because Tom, if he holds the ball, he's going to get hit. And you're right. What they did is revamp the offense. They run a lot of shallow crosses, a lot of basic crosses. They're getting the ball out of his hands. And then they play action you and hit you over the top.
Shannon, you want to change your pick?
No, I do not.
Why not?
I do not.
You just heard it from wisdom.
Kip, you know Shannon. He is going to go with it. And it's not about what he says. It's about what he can make the people believe.
I got Drew Breesy. Drew Breesy won't this thing. Drew Breesy, this is my last go round.
Shannon, I'm so sorry about this, but I also agree Tom Brady's going to get it done. So now, I'm looking forward to how you handle this on Monday, really. I'm looking forward to it already.
No mercy.
Monday, celebrate the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. as Notre Dame travels to the campus of Howard University for a special MLK Day showdown. Join us as we pay tribute to this most influential American hero. Monday, 2:30 Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app. How special is that? Oh, that's great. Looking forward to it. Well, a lot of news lately, guys. NFL head coaching vacancies are beginning to be filled across the league. The Jaguars were first out of the gate by hiring our guy, Urban Meyer, as their new coach. And last night, the Jets named 49ers defensive coordinator Robert Saleh their new head coach, making him the fourth minority head coach currently in the league. So, Shannon, which do you think is the better hire?
Well, Urban is the better hire, Skip. He's been a head coach. He's been a very successful head coach. I don't know Urban Meyer, but from what I hear, he's very CEO-like. He delegates the authority, and he makes sure everybody's where they're supposed to be and is done how it's supposed to be done. So that's what you have to do. Because I think the thing is sometimes, Skip, when you see these OCs or you see DCs get head job, well, he was great as an offensive coordinator. He was great, but that's only one side of the ball. You're responsible for offense, defense, and special teams. You're responsible for when they travel, when they meet, when they practice, when they do this. So Urban has done that for the better part of his adult life.
Yep.
So he's equipped. I'm not saying Robert Saleh can't learn these things. And I'm sure, you know, being around Kyle Shanahan and see how he conducts business. Mm-hmm. But I think Urban, because Urban has been there, done that, he's had success. I believe he's going to a great situation. The number one pick almost $100 million in cap space, and he has some quality young players. The only concern is his health. You know, he's left two jobs early, incited health reasons, as the reasons why he's leaving. Now, if you think the college was stressful, this thing about to get turned up a whole different level, Skip, because Urban, when he was at Florida, Skip, what? 95% of the time, other than against Alabama, he had the most talent on the field. When he's at Ohio State, 98% of the time, other than when he's facing Alabama, he had the most talent on the field.
Agreed.
He going to Jacksonville, probably 25% of the time, he's going to have the best talent on the field.
So, if that, to start with.
If that, Skip. So those are my only concerns, but I think Urban was the better hire. The just question is, can he sustain it?
Okay. Full disclosure, I do know Urban. I like Urban. I believe in Urban as a leader and a CEO and a winner.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm obviously going to lean Urban here, even though there's a critical factor. He's only coached in college football.
Right.
But he has obviously been a head coach in college football.
Yes.
And a supremely successful head coach. A master of the quick turnaround. Mm-hmm. Because just to remind everybody, he started out at Bowling Green. In his first year, they went from 2-9 to 8-3. Then he goes to Utah. First year, they went from 8-6 the previous year to 10-2. Florida, they'd been 7-5. And his first year, they go 9-3. Ohio State had been 6-7 the previous year, and they go 12-0. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's won national championships. He reminds me of Jimmy Johnson, whom I covered, obviously, another who works here at Fox. Mm-hmm. And I know Jimmy extremely well. His personality is very different than Urban's. You know,
Jimmy.
He is literally a hurricane.
Yeah.
Literally. But the point is, I believe they can both be successful in their ways.
Right.
And yet there's a long history of college football coaches who failed miserably in your league, the National Football League, starting with Nick Saban, Steve Spurrier, a guy I covered in San Francisco, Dennis Erickson, Greg Schiano, Bobby Petrino. We can just keep going on and on. The odds are actually against Urban succeeding.
Yes.
Even though I believe he will, and he didn't interview for any job because he said, I want that one.
Well, Skip, I think it's different now. You have to understand these guys are different. And I think the biggest difference is, Skip, you're dealing with 18, 20-year-olds. 18, 20-year-olds are trying to get to the NFL.
Yep.
These 22 and the 30-year-olds, they're already in the NFL. And they got wives. They got kids. They got mortgages. So you can't talk to them like you talk to a teenage kid.
Well, Jimmy did, but... After a while, you establish your ground rules, and if you live by them, and you have the dynamic personality to enforce them, Jimmy enforced
them. It was a different time because they're all, for the most, the old school coaches, all of them was like that.
Yep.
Coach Landry, all those guys. All the coaches were like that.
Maybe Jimmy came on the tail end of old school.
Yes, but now with your social media, Skip, and brand building and the way guys are, they're not going to let you talk to them sideways.
So here's always been my pet peeve about your sport, the National Football League. I'm all for hiring coordinators, but you made the point. How do you know?
You don't.
Like Robert Saleh, does he look the part? Mm-hmm. He looks great. Look at him. I mean, he's a stud. He played tight end at Northern Michigan. He looks like an ex-tight end who could still play tight end.
Right.
And he's fiery, emotional, wears all of his emotions on his sleeves on the sideline. Mm-hmm. So he looks and acts the part. Well, how do I know for sure? Because it's so weird when you say, well, you ran one side of the ball, but you didn't make any CEO decision.
No.
You didn't have to decide, are we going to punt or go for it?
Right.
The tone of the game, are you going to go this way or that way?
You have
to make such big picture decisions.
You didn't call timeouts. You didn't throw the challenge flag. And you met, but Kyle Shanahan set the meeting schedule. You met with someone else set your meeting schedule.
Did.
You're responsible for all that now.
When a star player had an off-the-field issue, you didn't really have to deal with it.
It wasn't your issue. Exactly.
Okay, so it's hard. Am I pulling for Robert Saul?
Mm-hmm.
Sure I am.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he's going into a tough spot. His spot is way tougher than Urban's got the first pick in the draft. And guess who it is? It's a guy who's a generational talent that we all say is can't miss, right?
And Urban Meyer, I've heard Urban talk about this kid in such glowing regards.
Trevor Lawrence.
And people are like, well, what if he shocked everybody and took Justin Fields? I say, that ain't happening.
Okay, I don't think it is either. I think he picked it because it's Trevor Lawrence. And they have two first-round picks, and they have two second-round picks, and they have the most cap space in the National Football
League. In the state of Florida with no state income tax.
And we've talked about it before, and I don't want to dwell on all the – there's still some talent left there. So it's not empty cupboard.
Yeah.
And he just said, I'm not going to interview anywhere else. I'm going there.
Right.
And that owner has a reputation, Shad Khan, of being – maybe overly patient, which he's going to need to be a little bit patient because I don't think Urban's going to turn it around and go win the Super Bowl next year.
It might, Skip, that might be a fixer-upper, but it's going to take you a little longer. That's not a flip project that you fix it up in a year and you're ready to sell it. It's going to take you a couple of years to get this thing up and running.
So Robert Saleh, again, could he be the next great head coach? He could be, but how do you know for sure? Because I look back at his – everybody says he's a Pete Carroll chip off the old block. Well, he was there with 3 years for Pete, and guess what his job was? He was quality control up to 2013 for 11, 12, and 13. You know what quality control is?
Yeah, I do.
You're just kind of a gopher. I mean, you're doing film room stuff.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Okay? You passing out. You passing out the game plan.
You're not even coaching a position until he went to the Jags because Gus Bradley took him to the Jags.
Yeah,
from Seattle, obviously, and then. Kyle Shanahan finally said, I want you, and brought him to San Francisco as the DC, the defensive coordinator. Okay, well, last year they were injury-racked, obviously, but they didn't have a great year. That they gave up 41 at Dallas. You remember, they gave up.
But the year before he got to the Super Bowl, Skip, and they play hard. They're very sound. Okay, Richard Sherman speaks in glowing terms. Okay. But Sherm knew him from Seattle.
He says he's a great hire. Okay. But look at his defenses. They ranked 25th his first year, 28th his second year, 8th in the Super Bowl year, and then back to 17th this year. Injury.
I just want to know one thing.
Yep.
Is there any me going to get a job?
Good question.
I mean, we appreciate Saleh, and he's a brown guy. Yep. He's a minority. Okay, we appreciate But I just want to know, is he me going to get a job?
I hope so.
Because what? Because
now there are reports that Arthur Smith will get the Falcons
job. Because Skip, what we hear is that, well, he didn't call the plays. Doug Peterson got a job and didn't call plays.
That's true.
Matt Nagy got a job and didn't call plays.
Bingo.
There are a lot of guys that have gotten jobs that did not call plays, that they didn't use that against them.
Good point.
Well, he definitely needs plenty of interviews. But just quickly before we wrap this up, I've been around Urban, obviously, plenty the last couple of years covering college football, interviewing him, and then as a teammate, you know, over these last couple of years. And I sent a little note to Urban yesterday and his wife, Shelly, and she said the hardest part about this will be leaving the Fox family. So I know they will be missed around here. It's been a pleasure working with Urban, and we're all going to be rooting for him, guys. So
Aaron Rodgers' coach didn't call plays. Sean McVay called the plays.
Oh, come on, Shannon.
Oh,
note about
Congratulations, Urban.
Throwing it in. No, I'm just kidding. I appreciate that, and I agree that he needs to get plenty of interviews.
No mercy.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.